gaslighting makes you question your self-worth, your identity, your value as a human being. And that's always the number one cause that's going to lead to depression, to severe anxiety. For some people, it develops into PTSD.
Aloha. Aloha, Terrell.
Aloha, Deidre.
And aloha to everyone out there, too.
Yes, aloha to you folks.
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right. We are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha, friends and family. Welcome back to our new episode of our podcast, DT Talks Season 4. How are you doing,
How are you doing, Terrell?
How are you, Jinx? I'm doing great. How are you?
I am surviving as always.
You told me you had like, what, 3 hours of sleep earlier or something?
Yes, guys. So if you think that you won't get enough sleep during university, I completely understand, but it might even still happen after you finish university. So yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, well, I'm not married or have kids or anything, but I feel like whenever
neither am I.
Yeah, but if you already got to that stage, imagine you already have a family and then you have kids already. Bruh. That's mad. Your life is ruined with horrible sleep now.
Don't scare off people now. Now.
Hey, I'm just being real about life, right?
Yes. That's Terrell for you guys. Just kidding.
Being a realist. Go ahead.
Nah. I think, why not? Let's start with good news for everyone. So should we bring our wonderful Uncle Terrell?
Yes, he will present us the news. Here we go. This is Uncle Terrell back at it again with another news from the goodnewsnetwork.org.
What's the good news today?
Good news today, very, very special for all the ladies out there. One for a good man, this is a good news.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it says here, man goes on 2,000-mile quest to mine his own diamonds for engagement ring and finds a 2.2-carat beauty.
Wow.
That lady, very, very lucky. Okay, I start reading here in the article. For years, this 26-year-old had been dreaming of finding his own precious gems to create a special engagement ring for his future spouse, something one of a kind.
Okay.
After a co-worker told him that he could actually mine for diamonds in a state park in Arkansas, he hatched a plan to go on a cross-country road trip to Crater of Diamonds State Park.
Okay, wow, okay.
Christian Liden even made some mining tools to take on the trip and watched many YouTube videos about how to find gemstones in the park. And he did everything in secret so his girlfriend wouldn't find out.
Of course, you can always go to YouTube.
Accompanied by a longtime buddy, he left Poulsbo, Washington on May 1st. Along the way, they tested their equipment at a Montana sapphire mine before arriving at the Arkansas diamond site 6 days later. On his third day of full-time mining in the 37-acre diamond search zone at Crater of Diamonds, Liden was wet, sifting when he spotted it. He immediately knew it was the prize that he had traveled more than 2,000 miles for, the gemstone to adorn the engagement ring he would present to his girlfriend Desiree after 2 years of dating. He says, I saw it shining as soon as I turned the screen over and immediately knew it was a diamond. I was shaking so bad, I asked my buddy to grab it out of the gravel for me.
Okay.
And then here it says, weighing 2.20 carats, Liden's diamond is the largest found at the park since last October when a visitor from Fayetteville discovered a 4.49 carat yellow diamond.
Yellow diamond, okay.
Very, very lucky. Now this Uncle Terrell also want to go mine some diamond and then can become rich. And then sell it to the market. Since Uncle Terrell have no girlfriend, not married or anything.
Yes, you might as well sell it, huh?
Yes. Good way to earn money.
Man, but then did they mention anything about how the girlfriend felt.
Uncle Taro don't know what the news for the guy, if he get married or not already, or engaged or anything.
I'm very suspicious about
don't know if this is fake news or real news. I just know Uncle Taro will go there, Arkansas, to go mining.
Yes, to all the people in Arkansas, yes, Uncle Taro will come for you.
Yes, I will go to Arkansas Park and go mine all the diamond.
Okay, you do just that then.
Okay, this is all the good news from Uncle Taro. Take it away, Deidre.
All right, much mahalo. I never thought I'd hear of someone going all the way just to get their own diamonds for their engagement ring. So good for that guy. But yes, that was the good news. And for our episode, we have a guest with us today. So you want to introduce them?
Of course, yeah. This is my wonderful friend, or also known as one of the biggest fans for DT Talks. We thought of he's already talking. We thought of inviting him because, like, it's a great opportunity to invite a fan or like someone who has been interacting with us a lot throughout our Instagram.
Yeah,
lives.
Great supporter. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. We'll have him introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. my name is Joseph Powell. I usually go by Joey. What else should I introduce myself about?
Just whatever you want.
Whatever.
Where
I want.
Where are you from? Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. I am from Arizona in the United States. Very hot desert climate. I'm a musician. Ooh. I play French horn.
Yes.
And I sing.
And more.
And more. A lot of instruments. Melodica, ukulele, trumpet, alto horn.
You just had your recitals 2 days in a row, right?
Yeah, we had two concerts. One yesterday.
Not recital. What am I saying? Concerts, yes. one choir and the other ones was steel drums.
Yes,
right?
I also play steel drums.
So talented, Joey.
Very fun.
I can't even claim playing three instruments because I can't fully play them. But I sing, so it's good. Deidre knows how to play a piano.
Hey, there you go.
Yes, piano. Once you learn the piano, it's easier to learn other instruments, I feel.
It really is. Piano is a good gateway to learn any other instrument that you want to know. Because as long as you know how to read music, it's...
Yes.
It helps.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. How do you feel now being our guest for the episode?
Honestly, it's kind of weird. I've never really done a podcast before.
Oh, really?
This is my first time. I guess I've been very self-conscious about my voice, and I've never really understood.
Aww.
I was like, podcasts are kind of weird to me just with how my brain works. This is the first podcast series that I've ever actually followed and like kept up with and enjoyed.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because other ones, like, I'll listen to it and I usually just kind of get bored by the voices and whatnot. And then I get here and it's like one part of it, it does help knowing the actual people.
Yeah.
But also it's just like, I also realize that the scope of my understanding of podcasts and of, I guess, just media in general was stuck to America. and the second that I kind of went out, I was like, oh, a podcast, and they're Malaysian. I was like, oh, this is something new. And I started listening to it, and I finally started realizing, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun listening to, and I was starting to learn different things. And then having you guys inviting the guests every single week, and I was like, this is kind of cool. And then I started joining the Tuesday live streams.
Yep. When it was still on, sorry, guys, I'm very busy this semester, so that's why, like, we didn't do it live.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, well, again, glad that you're in our show.
Yeah.
And I hope we gave a good lasting impression then, since you've been continuing to listen and tuning in so much.
It'll be interesting listening to this one once it's released.
Oh yeah, we haven't even talked about the topic yet.
Woo!
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, of course. But before we get to that, you know, we have our wonderful segment, which is the Would You Rather, so that we can all get to know Joey a little bit better. So are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. First question. Would you rather live where it is constantly winter or where it is constantly summer?
I've lived in both already.
In both.
So I've lived in two parts of Arizona. One is a desert and the other one's up at the very top of a mountain.
Yeah.
Where it's ranked number 8 in America for the most amount of snowfall.
Really?
Which no one would ever think about when it comes to Arizona, because they only think, oh yeah, it's desert. It reaches like 48, 50 degrees out there. It's like blazing hot. And then you go to this part of the mountain. It's where I went to school for a couple of years, and I just lived there and worked there. And in the summertime, the highs would only be like 10, 11 degrees or something. Mm-hmm. And then it would go well to like negative 15, 16 degrees in like the wintertime, especially at night. And it's dark out there too, because it's not like a big city or anything. It's a lot smaller of a town. There just happens to be university out there. It's kind of like here at BYU Hawaii, where it's just like tiny little town, couple thousand people and then whatnot. But my dad, I think, says it the best. It doesn't matter how hot it gets, but you never have to shovel sunshine.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So yes. I would definitely say I prefer someplace that's always summertime.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get the hassle of just like shoveling snow every day, right?
And it makes driving dangerous and transporting, even walking. I've slipped on ice multiple times and hurt myself.
Wow. So. I've never experienced winter, so I don't know.
I mean, I did. When I went to Japan, I was like, let's go snowboarding or like skiing. Worst idea ever, because I kept slipping and I don't know how to do it. And it was freezing cold. I'm like,
it's painful.
And I kind of figured like I like winter, but not maybe in the mountains. If I actually know how to snowboard, yeah, but...
I also don't suggest winter in a low plains area, like in the East Coast or somewhere in America, because that kind of cold actually, like, it literally just hurts your skin. It's painful with the humidity and the cold weather. It makes it a lot worse.
Okay.
The more you know, guys. Tips of the day from Joey.
Okay, my question. Yes. Would you rather be a character in an action-packed thriller or in a romantic comedy?
Romantic comedy, just because I've never been a fan of action films.
Oh, okay.
Actually, romantic comedy, I watch a lot of those. Especially Thai dramas and Filipino dramas.
Oh my gosh.
Any suggestions, Joey?
Any suggestions?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all BLs, if that's fine.
I don't know what a BL is.
What's Boy BL? Love shows.
I still don't know what it is.
Oh, you don't know?
You don't know Thai BLs? Okay. They're pretty famous, or the Filipino BLs one. It's like boy love, like gay romantic shows.
Oh, yes. And stuff. No, I know. But I've never watched it yet, so I don't know what it's...
My favorite like. Right now is Gaisa Pelicula, or like the films or like the movies. That's how it's translated from Filipino or Tagalog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, that one's my favorite. It's just on YouTube. It's only one season. It's a lot of like short films. It reminds me of like Hallmark movies that come out every single year.
Oh.
It's like they mass produce them basically.
Ah, I see. Yes. I mean, I'm sure that's a good show. So if anyone wants to watch it, here we go. Here's a Tagalog.
There's another recommendation.
Yeah, another one. Go ahead. Well, what's the other one?
Another recommendation, another Filipino drama as well, is called Game Boys.
Game Boys, okay.
It's kind of like a relationship setting and everything, but it kind of puts it in a more realistic setting of this is what it was like in the pandemic, especially out there, because it takes place in the pandemic.
During the pandemic.
And the way that the couple actually meets is through playing online video games.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a different take to like a drama and romantic series.
Nice. Well, those are the recommendations, and Joey likes to be in a romantic comedy.
Yes.
Very,
very, very,
very much. Not a bad thing, though. I love romantic comedy as well. Okay, next question. Would you rather have a desk job or an outdoor job?
The introverted side of... Well, okay, because like the career that I'm going for with music production and composition, that's kind of a desk job at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But it also has its variety. I would much prefer having an outdoor job where I'm like being active, doing stuff, whether it's like it would be fun to be a tour guide, honestly, even if it was out here. But I don't know, something outdoorsy. I like being outdoors, but I don't like too much public interaction. I prefer
you like the balance.
I kind of need that kind of balance.
It does get overwhelming sometimes,
so I guess an answer would be right in between.
A
desk job where I can stay at a desk for when I need to be at the desk, and then also just like get go outside and do things.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea. It's a good strategy. I mean, this is kind of what we're doing too, if you want to put it that way.
True.
Okay, my question. Would you rather have a face that everyone laughs at or a name that everyone laughs at?
A name. that everyone laughs at.
Yeah, Joseph is such a generic name, huh?
Partially, yes. I get bored of my name.
That's why we call you Joey now. You know, sounds more cool.
Well, it's kind of for a lot of runs people. Into a problem with my family. The thing that's kind of interesting is I also have a cousin whose name is Joseph Powell.
Oh.
And he goes by Joey, and my family calls me Joe. And then when I got to college, one of my first friends that I met, his name was Joseph as well. But he went by Joe, and I was like, okay, I'll just go by Joey. So I told everyone else. I was like, oh, yeah, my name's Joey. And then that kind of stuck once I started getting into college. And then whenever I go home, my family starts calling me Joe, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then you have my friends in high school. They don't even call me by my first name. They use my last name. And they're like, hey, Powell. Like, hey, what's up?
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I would definitely prefer a name to laugh at, because if I ever get annoyed by people laughing at it, I could just tell them to call me like something else, give me a nickname.
That's true. Like if it's your face, people are going to see your face every day.
Yeah.
And they're going to laugh at you, right? But if you don't tell them your name, then it's fine, right?
You can just use your nickname.
It's cheaper to legally change your name than it is to get plastic surgery.
Really?
And Botox. So.
In the US?
Oh.
Yeah.
The more you know, guys.
Botox is expensive. It's a couple thousand.
Here? Shucks. It's cheap in Malaysia. Anyways, would you rather be in a bad relationship for the rest of your life or have no significant other for the rest of your life?
That point, I would just rather be single for the rest of my life, just because I've known, especially over the past couple of years, like I could easily fare off just by myself, being single and whatnot for my whole life. And I have family that's kind of in a similar situation. They've lived their lives, they've seem to be self-sufficient and happy regardless of being single. I'd rather do that than be in a toxic relationship. Just because of previous experiences, I don't do well with a bad relationship. It'd be a lot more better for my mental health and my well-being and sanity to just be single.
I agree with that, man. Well, I guess that's basically a good answer to start off what we're going to talk about here today. So hope you guys enjoy getting to know Joey so far, and you already got the, sugar on top. Sugar on top?
Sugar on top?
Not sugar on top. Cherry sugar on top.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Yeah, sure. And already got to know Joey a little bit and about the topic for today.
Yes. So as he has mentioned, today's topic is called signs that you're in a toxic relationship.
Ooh, dun dun dun. You may have heard the words toxic relationship at some point in your life, and perhaps it may be hard to understand what it means to be in a toxic relationship.
Yes. So according to the dictionary, the definition of toxic, it's relating to something being extremely harsh or malicious and harmful. My question to you, what is your definition of a toxic relationship?
You know, I feel like the word malicious is very self-explanatory.
I was about to say the dictionary said it pretty well.
Well, what? How do you define it, Joey?
The way that I would define a toxic relationship is any kind of relationship that is causing harm over benefit.
Yes. Yeah. Over benefit. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting word choice right there, Joey. For me, I think a definition for toxic relationship is something you don't feel comfortable being in that situation. I think that will be my own definition, at least.
I mean, usually when I think of toxic relationships, the first thing that comes to my mind is that you're not safe.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the first thing that will come to my mind, honestly. Now, at their core, toxic relationships, they typically manifest as someone asserting power over another and then with someone questioning their own self-worth or value.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I mean, honestly, it's tricky as toxic relationships can be hard to navigate, and sometimes you don't even realize you're in one in the first place.
Yes. And also when we say toxic relationship, we don't just mean like, oh, you know, the romantic relationships of you and your partner, but it also goes into the relationships that you have with people you work with, in your business, or even amongst your friends as well. Do you usually think of that, you guys? Like when you hear toxic relationships, do you just think of it as like, oh, like partners?
I'd never actually really think of it as partners and whatnot, just because out of my own personal experience, I've only been in one real toxic relationship as far as like a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
But the amount of friendships that I've had both in high school and college and actually even on my mission when I served as a missionary for the church, toxic relationships with companions or with other members, whatnot, like those still exist out there.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, at least the first time I heard about the word toxic relationship, the first thing I always think of is romantic, not romanticism, like having a romantic partner. Whether it be girlfriend, boyfriend, dating, or getting married, engaged and stuff. There are situations I feel like, yeah, that's a toxic relationship. But then you never really talk about or think about sometimes family relationships, friendships, or work friendships, that...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that it's like toxic environment for that, right?
Yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm.
Co-membership. Co-workmanship. Maybe, yeah. What about you, Deidre?
Growing up, because I watch a lot of movies and such, that I always think that, oh, it's typically what they'll say for like romantic relationships, you know, because like I remember watching movies like Jennifer Lopez movie, there was one Enough or something.
I forgot that movie existed, but yeah.
I actually really like it.
Nice, the reminder.
I was like, oh, that is so bad. That's so toxic because that guy is an abuser and manipulator and everything. I always think toxic relationships are like super intense and such, but sometimes it can be like the subtle ones where, you know, like they sometimes... You're in a toxic relationship. Maybe they don't even mean to be like that with you, but they are. And then, yeah, it's like kind of hard to explain right now, you guys. But yes.
It's fine. I mean, like, it kind of makes sense, though. Like, sometimes subtle toxic relationships can lead to something bigger, I feel like, at least.
Yeah.
I feel like I have enough experience to understand that, you know, toxic relationships are very influential. Or very, what you call it, they spread really fast. Like, let's say if it's just your family, somehow your whole family will get involved at the end of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And especially when you're married and stuff, man.
Ooh, yeah.
Woo! I mean, I'm not married, but I can imagine
where
it goes from there, right? Everyone would start to hate you if you're at fault, or if you're not at fault, or if you're accused to be at fault. Man.
It's
horrible.
Yeah. Well, imagine also like if you have a toxic relationship with coworkers at work and then you come home and you kind of have a toxic relationship as well. That's really tough.
Man.
Yeah. I know some people have gone through that. Yeah.
I have a lot of stories of both me and my friends in every single one of those situations with both school, family.
Yeah.
I'm very blessed to have never actually had a toxic relationship with any of my family members. We're actually a pretty well put together family, which I consider that a blessing every single day of my life.
Yep.
Co-workers with a lot of my previous jobs. School has been an absolute nightmare, and friendships and whatnot. And it's always, but for some people and for some of my friends as well, I've recognized it's like they've never been able to be in a setting, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's within a friend group, they've never been in a setting where they were not in something that was toxic or harmful towards them. And I just feel so bad for them sometimes. Yeah. And I always try to figure out how I can help them get into a place where it's safe. And I mean, for one of my friends, it was even talking to them about considering foster care over anything else, just so that they can find some place that is safe where they can mentally recover. And I mean, all of us, we basically started therapy together for similar reasons. And
yeah.
So yeah, it can get crazy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm also very blessed to not have like a very deep or like hard toxic relationships where I was put in a situation where I don't know how to escape or don't know how to get out of. But I still feel very grateful that I don't have to deal with those things. But whereas other people, you know, given their scenario or situation that they're facing, they need, like what you said, Joey, that they need a safe place. They need someone to talk with. And sometimes they don't know who to turn to, and it's hard for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. Well, we definitely will want to hear more about this, and we will soon discuss more on this, especially on the signs that you're in a toxic relationship, because, you know, sometimes people don't realize it. But first, let's get into the segment and hear what our friends have to say about this topic.
Yes, here we go.
Here we go.
I've never been in a toxic relationship before, but I've seen, I've heard, I've witnessed, and I've listened that they went through quite harsh. But one thing, what is the cause of that relationship kind of like broken up? Because of going through your receipts every day and just check here and there, text messages, social media, and other kind of stuff. Knowing your password, that's way too much. Knowing your private life, that is one thing. Because toxic relationship, you should not get into much of private life, like asking for password and your bank accounts. No, that's a big no. And you're focusing too much on that, and it's really, really exhausting. Plus, bringing up so much and over again someone's weaknesses, past weaknesses or mistakes, instead of that, you know, physical or verbal abuse kind of happen in that kind of situation. If it's becoming more and more toxic, so physical or verbal abuse is a deal breaker.
Hey there. So, have I ever been in a toxic relationship? Oh, definitely. Yeah, you won't be happy. That's all I could say. It's not a good place to be. So what do I think are some of the signs of a toxic relationship? First one is the on and off relationship where you break up and you get back together, break up and get back together. It gets tiring, guys. So don't ever get stuck in that situation. The second one I would say is when your partner is controlling about everything you do, about who you are, wants to change every single thing about you, and controlling over who you can hang out and who you cannot hang out with. That's no good. And I would say that you will be really unhappy and everything will go downhill from there.
Yes, I have been in a toxic relationship before. Some of the signs that I realized that it's toxic is not just through communication, like verbal, but it can come in a much more physical way. For example, doing things together that is beyond the law and beyond morality, that is not good, because it'll promote you to do more things that is beyond the levels that which you have already stepped onto. And that can lead to a very destructive relationship and a life.
I have been in a toxic relationship before. I think the main signs that I saw early on in my relationship was, first of all, possessiveness. Like, he'd be really angry over little things, even when I'm just going with my friends. Going out with friends, he'd already know. Then I'd come back to text demanding, oh, where was I at? What was I doing? Who was all over there? I feel like that stemmed from a sense of insecurity and mistrust between us. Another one was jealousy, basically just going through my inbox to see who I'm messaging and things like that. And to me, that's just ridiculous, because it wasn't even like a long relationship for him to be doing that already, but whatever. The third one was controlling. It was hard. There were some things that I did not want to do that he kind of pressured me to do. Not extreme things, but just little things. And to me, that didn't hit right. It really kind of got on my nerves. So I cut it off, but these were some of the very alarming red flags that I came through early on. And I'm talking like within the first week and the only week of the relationship. But yeah, it's wild out here.
Very, very interesting. So what do you guys think about the comments there from the audio recordings?
Oh my gosh. I guess within the audio recordings, all of those people that were kind of sharing their similar experiences, and I know exactly how you guys feel. I don't know how you guys feel necessarily within the romantic side, especially because mine was a little bit different. In the one experience that I really had of an actual toxic, like, romantic relationship was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of the first time that I kind of questioning myself along with my sexuality, and I was talking with a guy, and we had gone on a couple dates together and whatnot, and little did I know that over that time he was trying to gaslight me the entire time. And I guess going back to what those people were saying in the recordings is, one, the different experience, there's two big G's that I try to watch out for whenever it comes to anything developing to be toxic, and that's gaslighting and gatekeeping.
Yes.
Which gaslighting makes you question your self-worth, your identity, your value as a human being. And that's always the number one cause that's going to lead to depression, to severe anxiety. For some people, it develops into PTSD, and it can even lead into some of the harsher scenarios of self-harm and suicide. And it's things that I've gone on, like that's a path that's happened for me, and I've had to find my way back afterwards, just after that first relationship. But that it's also was tied with a lot of my friendships back in high school, because I was still a curious mind. I'm still figuring out what I'm doing.
We're still very young.
Still very young, but it's also a time that it's, because you're so young, it's hard to be able to control emotions. It's hard to be able to control these scenarios. So things will always get hypersensitive.
Yeah.
I guess would be the best term to put it at.
Or everything will just go haywire super easily with your emotions, mentally and emotionally, especially.
Yeah.
What do you think, Deidre, of the recording so far?
For me, I feel that it's kind of interesting how a lot of people have been in a toxic relationship, or at least know someone who has been in one, you know?
Yeah.
Because honestly, we never talk about this as well, like being in a toxic relationship.
I mean, the experience is common, but then like verbally talking to your friends about it sometimes, or just like talking in general, it's very uncommon to talk anything about this, because you think it's like super awkward and you don't know how to relate. For some people, maybe it is too young for them to understand what it feels like to be in that position, but you never know. You'll be surprised the people that you're talking with right now has experienced that, or has a feeling of someone had already experienced that too, right?
Yeah, and then of course there's also people who might not realize that they're in one, and actually talk to someone about it, they'll be like, wait a minute, does that mean I'm in one? Like, they'll start to like look back at what they have been through, and
chances are people sometimes they're so in love, or like just having an expected ideal relationship, that they forgot that it's just an illusion or a facade, if anything.
Oh my god!
Right? Are you guys agreeing with what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, because we will go through a phase where we feel like, okay, I want a very happy life, and I really want to go through it, and I've never experienced any of this before, and this is my first love. I really want it to work out. You're trying your very best to make things work together, but I think something people got to realize is that, you know, these kind of ideal thoughts is so toxic. In that sense, then you won't know what you want in life, right?
Yeah.
Since you have that expected illusion.
I guess going off of that as well is, and that was the situation that I was going into. It was my very first love. It was my very first time ever experiencing these kind of like emotions and feelings. And when you don't know how to control it, oftentimes it. And there's nothing wrong with it being kind of your first time. But sometimes if you don't know how to control yourself, you develop these kind of situations on your own. Of, you don't even need to have someone causing the harm to you, whether it's through their harsh words or bullying, or in some situations they'll kind of like gatekeep you, saying like, oh, you're not allowed to see anyone else if we're going to be in a relationship. It's just you and me kind of thing, whatnot. If you're having these a hard time balancing these emotions, especially if it's a first love, you'll oftentimes just agree with it, you'll be okay with it. It's like, I won't see anyone else, I won't make any other friends. But then the second that you kind of start getting a control of yourself again, and these original outbursts of emotions start to fade away, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should still have friends. I should still have a normal life. I should still be going to work or doing this or that, or pursuing actual dreams in a career. But the partner or whatever situation it is, whether it's a friend or family member or an actual relationship, that's when they'll be like, no, what about our relationship?
What about
that
me?
Should have the top priority.
Yeah.
and it starts becoming more selfish. And there's actually a term about it in psychology of pre-conventional, conventional, and post-conventional mind thinking. And oftentimes toxic relationships always end up where one person is very pre-conventional and selfish within their thoughts, and the other person is post-conventional, only thinking about the other person. And then the second that you leave the post-conventional mindset, even to just a regular conventional thought process, that's when the toxicity hits. And that's when the arguments will start. That's when you realize you're in trouble and you need to get out of that situation. Yes. And any of those situations, it's best to just leave as fast as possible.
Yeah. Well said, my brother.
Well said. Well, that definitely answers my question, because I want to know your experience with being in a toxic relationship. Because I know, Joey, you mentioned also about like work as well, like having a toxic relationship at work. So, yeah.
Toxic relationship at work. The one main experience that I've had that was kind of a toxic situation was when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay.
And Flagstaff. It was my first retail job, and I had no idea what I was really getting into. But what was really interesting about it is basically, instead of just being like a courtesy clerk or whatnot, where you just like reorganize shelves and this and that, they put me straight on customer service. And they had me. Yeah. So I was behind that little desk answering questions, putting together orders, and
they gave you no directions, right?
That was kind of the start of, I was like, I don't know if this is a good place to be working at, because they're kind of trying to use me, just because I'm a pretty nice and reasonable person whenever it comes to customer service. And I never argue with someone. I always do whatever. That's what companies always look for, is people that always put customers on their first mind, having a post-conventional mindset. But then having that job made me realize like my mental health declined drastically, basically because of it, having to deal with I hate saying Karen, because there's people that I know who's actually Karen, but Karen after Karen. Working at Bed Bath & Beyond, they put me on customer service. I had to deal with Karen after Karen, just like over and over. And I was like, okay, this isn't good. And I go and talk to my manager, and I was like, hey, I'm not doing so well like here. Could I work at like in a different spot, whether it's in the back, just like unboxing shipments that come in, whatnot?
Yes.
It was like, no, you're the best out here. Like, no one else can do it. And I was like, okay, I'll stay here then, whatever. And then it finally got to, like, the semester was starting for school, because I was just working there for the summer. And once school started, I was like, hey, I need to reduce my hours. I have, like, classes and this and that. And he's like, okay, just, like, put it in the system and we'll make your schedule around that. So I did that. And then they did not look at my schedule whatsoever. And they started, like, scheduling me at times when I had class and this and that.
Oh,
and
that's horrible.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I can't do that. And my manager guilted me so much in the first time with our first conversation about it, when I was like, hey, I have class, I can't show up to work today. He guilted me enough to actually into like showing up to work that day, but thankfully that was the last day that I ever showed up to work, because
that's good.
Just leave, man. Afterwards I was like, I don't think this is like legal, like you're not allowed to force someone to go into work and like miss school and whatnot. And I was like, okay, I need to have my priority be school. I'm quitting this job. And I quit very fast. And
good for you.
And got to focus on school for a little bit. And then I got a second job working at a gas station, which was a lot better. The manager was more understanding. He was like, hey, you're a student, that's first priority. Just come in when you can, kind of thing. And we'll call if we need you, but if you can't make it, that's fine. And they never held anything against me. And I was like, okay, this is like an actual better working environment compared to the first one that just got mad at me like on the spot. Hey, like you can only do this, you can only do that. They were trying to like micromanage my life.
And I'm micromanaging.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's painful.
Yeah.
It would be. Yeah. I mean, from what Joy's experience, it kind of reminded me of like one job experience that I had like when I was younger, when I was like, what, 16 also? Because my mom sent me out with a friend as well. It's kind of the same as Joey. That's this lady that she wants me to work, because this was already holidays, didn't have to worry about school. But at the same time, like I told her my requests that, you know, I will not work on Sunday no matter what. So I will, you can have me work anytime. I'll work longer as much as you want, but I will not work on Sunday. After a month of doing so, or when I got my pay. It was not a lot of pay. Just letting you guys know, if you ever want to work on, with that lady, you never work with that lady. She does a bad job managing like youngsters getting paid. I remember, I think I got, what, 20 ringgit? Like,
oh.
After like 2 weeks or a month. I don't remember.
What?
I don't
know how. That little?
Yeah. And then my mom was like, you know, do you want to consider changing jobs? I was like, man, mom, you set me up with this. And I thought, like, this is what you want me to do. And then she's like, yeah. And then after one of those days, the manager said, like, hey, can you, like, work on Sunday, please? Like, I really, you know, we need more people, more time to do it. Like, it's like your scenario, like, they guilt trip you saying, like, oh, like, you know, you can't always skip your obligations. I'm like, no, I can't. I'm not going to do it. And ever since that day, I just left and I never went to work after that. Never even spoke to her. Never did anything about it.
Wow.
So, you know, from a 16-year-old boy, I was very brave to do so.
Yeah, that's very brave move, actually. Wow.
Yeah, so like, again, if you guys notice that if anyone's trying to destroy your life, just leave. Don't even need to contact that person. Just leave. Mm-hmm. You already, okay. You leaving has enough expression and information for people to know that you're done, no more, just like that.
And the only way
they'll get it.
Yeah, and the only way that in any kind of those situations that they'll have any kind of power to ruin your life in a way or cause any harm to you is if you let them.
Yes, exactly.
So leaving those situations in a heartbeat, that it's your best way to at least stop the pain, and then that gives you an opportunity to recover.
Yes. I completely agree.
Yes, for sure. If there's anything that we want you to know, friends and family, is that you are your own dictatorship for your own choices. So
you dictate
your own choices. Yes. Okay. Okay, there we go, my English. Yeah, you dictate your own choices and you do whatever you want.
Well, as long as it's good.
Yeah, of course, like, you know, don't do drugs.
Don't be the one who's giving the toxic relationship by doing whatever you want. You don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want to be that person who is being the toxic one.
I can really agree with these guys. When you know that it's causing harm to yourself, whether it be mentally, physically, emotionally and such, that's already like a red flag for you. Because like, even mine, when I was working back in Hawaii, my job was involved in customer service mainly, where I'm always seeing thousands of guests each night. Of course, every job has its challenges. So just because something is hard doesn't mean it's toxic.
Yep.
But when it is causing harm to you, when it's causing harm to your safety, then that's already something to keep in mind. Because I worked in that job for 2.5 years. It was great in the beginning. Everything was good. I loved my coworkers. I was fine with my bosses. But then towards like the last couple of months in that job, I noticed changes in myself where I felt I was getting, like, not saying negative, but I didn't feel as glad to go to work, and like I didn't want to be there, and I had so many people teasing me a lot about things. Like, I know it's in other people's culture, like tease and such, but for me, I was just getting tired of it, being teased. And then the deal breaker was when I experienced harassment by guests.
Dang.
And I told my manager, I first told like in proper protocol, like supervisor. He didn't know how to help me. And then I told the manager and he didn't believe me. And I was like, okay, that's the deal breaker, when like the people you work with can't even help you and protect you as they should. And then I didn't think twice about it. I left. I didn't even prepare to search for another job. I just left. I was so glad I left, because my next job after that was a breath of fresh air
air.
Wow. Honestly.
Great way
so
to
sometimes,
describe it.
Yeah, sometimes when you're caught in such a toxic environment relationship, if you know that it's really hurting you, really the best option is to leave if you can. You don't think twice, like you just leave.
That's right.
You do have to put into consideration there are some people where they can't leave such a situation, whether it's how deep it is. And the most important one to note is family relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Don't even get a choice in usually. It's if you're born into a family, you're born into a family or adopted into a family. You all live under the same household or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And those are impossible to almost escape sometimes. And that it became a situation for one of my friends back in high school. Was his safe haven was going to school and doing these after school activities. And because me and like a couple other like friends and people I know, everyone would just ask him, he was like, why are you at school from like 5 a.m. to like 8 p.m. or something? It feels like you're there for forever. And even for like lunch and dinner and everything, like you just get the school lunch. And then for dinner, you go to like, in our town, we have like Mexican restaurants. We have about 9 Mexican restaurants within like a mile radius of our high school. We would eat there all the time and whatnot. But we would just be asking him, it was like, oh, why are you doing that? Why don't you ever go home or do your homework at home? And said he always did the homework either in the band room or in like the library or something. And none of us knew until one time when he actually opened up to me. He was like, actually, like he explained the relationship that he had with his alcoholic father. And
oh, yeah.
It was abusive every single time that he was there. And there was just no sense of safety there or security. And and that was at that case. I mean, we were young. We were only 15 at the time. And 15 turning on 16. And I never thought that at that age I would be like, have you ever considered foster care? But we said that, and within just a couple of months of that, and he also saw one of the student teacher counselors that we have at the school, and we called family services pretty fast, and he got set in a foster care system. And
that's good.
And I just noticed that transition from the first 6 months of our friendship onwards to after he got into foster care. Thankfully, he was able to stay at the same high school at least another year before he ended up leaving, because he got adopted and moved out of state. But when he was in that foster care system, he was at least in a place where he felt safer. And I even got to meet the foster parents.
Oh, wow.
Because they were just living in our neighborhood and whatnot. So I was like, oh, yeah, let's go have our evening out there. It kind of threw me off because I was like, oh, this is the first time that we're... One, you're like going home before 8 p.m. And two, it's like it's your home and you're actually able to have friends over and we can play. We played Minecraft, just video games together and whatnot. And but just the amount of excitement, the happiness, and just knowing that he wasn't in that kind of situation. I you could see it in his face. You can see it in his eyes.
He's happy.
Just happier, a better person. I mean, he still struggles with his anxiety from the daily abuse that he had beforehand.
Yeah, that's a great solution. If anyone's out there, if you know you're in that situation, or if you ever feel like you're trapped in that kind of relationship for your family or friends, look for people who you can trust. And especially, again, like, more importantly, seek for help. People with authorities. Yeah, people with authority. I'm just going to say
authority. Authority and experience.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So if you can leave, leave. If not, have trusted people around you and be able to reach out to those authorities such.
Yes.
Yeah.
These last two questions that we're going to have, guys, we're just going to keep it brief and then we can know what to do in those situations, okay? So each of us will say one sign of toxic relationship and how do we get out of the toxic relationship? Okay, ready? I'll start.
He's ready.
Let's say romantic relationship. Your partner's abusing you verbally, physically. What should you do? Okay, it's a deep question.
I wish
we have more time to talk about this, but I think one of the best solutions is, again, the first rule that we should always follow is get out of the situation. Like, talk to someone who you trust. Talk to your therapist if you're going to therapy. Talk to your trusted friends and trusted family members, and then tell them about the situation and ask for advice. If anything, I feel like you should, if you're unable to talk to your partner, try your very best to get out of the situation. And I feel like that's one of the best solutions, at least.
I guess my answer for that one would be therapy.
Okay.
See a therapist. And a therapist, it's not available in every situation, but a therapist is always going to be the best option.
Okay.
Because they come from a middle ground. They don't know anything, but they're trained specifically to find these warning, these red flags that we've been talking about.
That's right.
Within toxic relationships. That's literally their profession. is they will help you find these red flags. They will help you navigate how to safely leave it and how to recover from it in the future. Obviously, therapists aren't available in every situation, but if they are, take it. If not, find someone you trust. It can even be a stranger at that point. That's when it's okay, let's go make a new friend. If you're at school or if you're in a work setting, find a new coworker that you just have time to talk to.
True.
Yes.
Okay, what about you, Deidre? One last one.
Yeah. Oh, so many types of toxic relationship, like red flags, because there will be people who will, like as Joey said, like gaslight you.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ones who will blame you for a problem they caused, or they will isolate you from your friends or family. And there's just so much. And the bottom line is, like, also be aware if you're starting to make excuses for someone's terrible behavior.
Oh, yeah.
That's a red flag.
Definitely.
Especially if you have to hide things from them, you know, because they're so controlling and such. Also, what makes you feel unhappy and safe? That's something really to be aware of. Always remember to have that self-love for yourself. Yes. Remember to care for yourself. When you find yourself or someone you know in that situation, firstly, be aware of what is going on and then acknowledge it and find that help that you can get. And always, the first thing I'll do is always go to someone that I can trust, at least, like whether it's a best friend, maybe a family member and such. So always try to have someone you know you can, who can really support you and be there for you.
That's
right. And any relationship that you have, always try to have a healthy relationship, because every healthy relationship should have trust. It should have honesty and good communication.
Amen to that. Yeah.
I mean, like, just all I have to say.
Just want to add like one small one. If you have self-doubt about yourself during a relationship, again, it's a good sign already. Get out of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your money. It's not worth all the experiences after that. Okay, you got to save yourself from it. Okay, guys, if there's one thing I want you guys to know, friends and family, get off of it. Your self-love is way more important than that relationship that's already super toxicating and so forth.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's basically the end of the episode. Thank you so much, friends and family, for listening. And how do you feel now, Joey, being in our wonderful topic episode for today?
It's nice being able to talk about things like this. And it's kind of been a way for me to get things off my chest and be able to express some of my concerns. Heeds of warning, especially for people who knows, they're probably going through the same situation as me or as others.
Exactly.
Have in the past. So
Joey, you never know, you might be helping someone who's listening now.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if I am helping you in any way, I guess you're welcome. But also, like, if you ever need someone to reach out to, don't ever be afraid to contact me, even if I don't know you, even if it's like the most random situation. It's one of the things that I'm pretty good with my social media, is I keep my DMs open for anyone. And it's for those reasons. It's like, even if I don't know them, I'm down to have a conversation, be able to talk with them for a little bit and be like, hey, how are you doing? And I can't always offer the solutions, but having that first conversation is always a good pathway to finding the right way out of a toxic relationship, out of anything that can be harmful in your life, no matter what it may be.
That's true.
So
what's your Instagram then, Joey?
My Instagram is Joey Powell, JoeePowell, and that's actually all of my social media.
Oh, sick.
Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
He's a TikTok popular dude, just letting you guys know.
Yeah.
Yes, I always watch his stories.
All right, you guys know who to DM, who to talk with. You can be sure to talk to us as well if you have any concerns. We may not be able to help, but we'll be there as a friend, just like Joey.
Of course.
Well, thank you so much, friends and family, for listening to our DT Talks podcast season 4. We hope this episode has helped you to realize you're in a toxic relationship or not, whether it be in your workplace, with your friends, family, and many more scenarios that we haven't talked about here, especially in this episode, but we'll talk about more in the future, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, Well, be sure to follow us on Facebook, DT Talks Podcast, and Instagram, DT Talks _podcast, and as well as all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music as well. So thank you so much for listening, and this has been
DT Talks. Boom.
Sheesh.
Done.
Bye.